It was during youth service, I dreamt one night. I don't dream serious dreams a lot. I dream a lot of useless dreams. That's reduced now, but there's not just to dream recklessly, you understand? There are very few occasions in life that I've dreamt dreams that were serious, and that was one of them. When I woke up, I knew this one was serious because it was very funny. But the summary of it, I can't give the detail of the dream now, but the summary of it was that I was walking down a long street, narrow street, and looking for the way forward, something like that. And everywhere I turned, the door was closed. Everywhere I kept turning and turning. And then one day I said, I don't tire. Then I turned and then there was a door. You understand my point? When I woke up, I sat down, wrote a number of things down, which I don't have that paper anymore, but I still remember the things in mind. And it dictated how I started ministry years later. But the first thing I knew was that ministry would take a long time to start. That was one thing I knew. So everybody was saying, Pastor Banky, what is happening? They were not there when I dreamt, and I know. And a lot of people have been very, very strong in making things happen by themselves. I have never been that strong. In fact, my wife is not around today. She traveled. But I told her when God looked at her and said, how do I bless this young girl called Ufoma? He said, marry a banky for her. And that was what happened. My wife was one of those people that the door no one open. Give me hammer, waiting. This door no one open. Oh, crack and open. I've never been like that. And not as if, I don't know what I would have been, but I started studying the word of God long ago. You understand? I told you, 87 was when I started my active study, all right? I started reading scripture, literature about a year or two before that, but active study was 87. So I don't really know what I would have been like, but for what the word created in me. But I was not a striving person. God took that thing out of me. I wasn't, when I was very young, I wasn't really that, I was tough a bit, but I wasn't very, very serious with striving. But the Holy Spirit entrenched it by the word of God. You understand? So I learned it that you don't force things to happen. You don't, especially when it comes to ministry. You don't. That's why I'm not an active, people have given me ideas on how to market our books. I don't operate those ideas. Not because I don't know them, but because it's ministry for me. And I'm not allowed to do that. Sounds funny. Some people say, I listen. It's my matter. Amen? And I know it. Amen? For me, books, all of that is ministry. I'm not allowed to aggressively push. I mean, it's not storybooks I'm writing. I'm not writing storybooks. I'm writing doctrine. I'm not allowed to aggressively push them. I make them available in the simple way that I can. You can give me all the strategies for making, by which I will sell 1 million books in a year. And while you are speaking, I'll suddenly lose interest. You won't understand why. The reason is simple. Once you start talking like that, it's shifting towards business, towards money making. And once it's like that for me, I just ignore it. I pray about the books. I pray about the CDs. I pray about the tapes. I make them available the way we can. That's how the CDs are available to download as much as possible. We just keep putting them there. You can download them and listen to them. I encourage people to share with their friends. But you won't see me aggressively push sales. No, I don't do that. So when I had to wait concerning ministry matters, it was very easy to wait. And God gives us different things to wait with. I was trained as a medical doctor. So the thing the Lord gave me to wait with was going to do my residency training. So it was very simple. All I did was read. Ah, my God. I read. All I used to do was go to church, read. What else? I mean, just go to church, read. That was all I used to do. And I remember when I started residency, I told people, "Say, you're doing residency." I said, "Well, I don't think I'll finish." I thought I was going to go into ministry. I don't think I'll finish. I finished. Then what are we going to do next? Something in me just said that, don't worry, ministry will be where God gives you a job. So I just hung around, and one day, I've told this story before, those of you who have been around for a while, how I arrived in Enugu, it was supernatural manifestation. My friend suggested it, God confirmed it, and that's how I came to Enugu. Before I came to start work in Enugu, I'd only been to Enugu once before in my life, and that was around 88, 89, all right? I was a medical student, we came to Benin, to Enugu for what is now CMDA, there it was a NCCMDS, all right, conference. We're under the Eastern Zone, Benin then. So all of us came to UNEC here. That was the first time I ever came to Enugu in my life, and the last time. Until I came to pick my appointment letter. As soon as I entered Enugu, I said, I knew the ministry had started. And all I did was just print tracts. Then God opened the door. We hired this place, and then we began to teach. And I pray every day, and the Lord says nothing. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. So you know what that means? I continue teaching every day. I have that assignment. It has not expanded, really. You may think it has, maybe because we now went on radio and TV. It's still the same thing I do. I've not done beyond that. All right? But listen, the story about it is that from the time I left university till the time Kingdom was started was about 10 years. 10. Yes, about 10 years or 11. Was I teaching here 2003? But about 2 years before, when I said started, I mean track two. Not organizing, hey, praise the Lord, great meetings. I mean tracts. Just to write, print, distribute. To do that one was 10 years. Now, like I told you, you think Moses said, God is killing strength in me. Moses didn't say so. You and I are the ones saying so now. I don't know what I understand what I'm saying. Moses did not know what God was doing. Moses was not saying, praise God, I just know. My problem right now is I'm too strong. When I get weak enough, God will move me. When I get weak enough, now like, the guy just wake up. Not after a few years, he forgot that there was a place called Egypt. You understand my point? Or it was a natural wearing down. There was no discussion. What am I saying? What was God doing in me all those years? I don't know. I do not know. I can tell you I was learning, maybe. Is it that if I started means I will have stopped learning? Am I not still learning till today? I'm still learning. I don't know. But the thing was sure that you couldn't take, that is for me, a step until God authorized and energized it. And for me, one of the ways I know what God has authorized is what he energizes. Do you follow what I'm saying? Yes. If we try to do something, we struggle like this, it not work. You know what I do? I close it down. I'll just shut it down. Just close it down. No, doesn't mean it's a bad idea. We just suspend the idea till another time. The first time I tried to go on radio, you know what drove me away? Should I tell you? There was one evil spirit there. Hey, go away. Nah, lie. Nothing like that. Holy Spirit said, my son that shall not come here. Nothing like that. I went in there. I said, how much? When they told me the price, I went back home. You know, it's funny. That time, it was 25,000 naira per broadcast. We're going to come to 100,000 a month. Who will pay for this? Not like gross in that book. Who will pay? I just went back home. I beg. I forgot the idea. I continued doing my Saturday teaching. Continued teaching. By the time we went back, things were different. We had more money. Well, maybe. But more importantly, they brought the price down to suit us. When we started, we were paying 15,000 instead of 25. When we doubled it to twice a week, we were paying 10,000 for each broadcast. The price kept coming down. And we kept on going up. You understand? And we matched ourselves and we started broadcast. And since then, we have not stopped. It was like God saying, go back to Egypt. It is time to pull the people out of Egypt towards the promised land. You are following the point I'm making. What am I trying to emphasize to us today? Moses was stagnated in quote for a season, and it was because of God. Jesus was stagnated for a season. You say, what do you mean stagnated? Oh boy, if from the age of 12, you knew what you were supposed to do, and you were making bench and pulpit and bed to the age of 30, it's not easy. Especially when your cousin is there, shaking the whole environment, challenging kings, you understand? And Pharisees are paying him, you know, visits. You know, Pharisees were sending delegation. Jesus would go to work in the morning, plane that wood very well, tell his, I assume he has some other apprentices around, do that one very well. This is the chair for this person. They are doing it. Well, I see some Pharisee, get the chair ready. I need to go and see John. I'm among the delegates sent by the Sanhedrin. That's your cousin, who kicked when he heard your mother's voice. Are you getting my point? And you knew this story. Cousin John was shaking the whole of Israel. And Jesus Christ was planing wood. That's stagnation. What did I call it? For some people today, your friend don't buy a motor car, don't begin build house. You think you are stagnated. And at home, they are telling you the story. In fact, you stop going home for Christmas because the embarrassment is too much. Anytime you come, when you want to do big man, you come in the tax. That's your own big man level. You come with the tax. Meanwhile, your friend park 1G for there, your cousin. And everybody telling you the story. Is it not the same ministry too? There's one man of God. They say one day, the family told the brother, is it not the same ministry your brother is doing? You two, why don't you go and go to Lagos way and do the same thing he's doing? Because the brother and a big man, big man where they fly first class, big man will get plenty of money. Brought there for another town. I think he Ibadan somewhere. And he's sweating, you know what I'm saying? He's sweating. Sweating out and saying he's preaching the same gospel. Their prayers go, look, is your own Jesus different from his own Jesus? Because this his own Jesus bought him, a pathfinder together with a path loser. And, his own Jesus arranging everything. Your own Jesus, this is your Audi 80. Which, we know how you bought it like 6 years ago. Wait, I think you should follow your brother. I don't know whether I get my point. That's what the family told him. This is the painful part. You know, some people listen. What did I say? Some people listen. If one of the things I want to say today, maybe I'll say it next time, is how does God speak? How did Moses hear God to get out? Do you understand? Well, I think it's not necessary. We've talked about it here and there, so let me not go by it, all right? I think it's not necessary. Let me just drop it, okay? But some people listen. They listen to counsel that says, depart from the house of Jethro and go and forcefully do this deliverance. You know one thing Oswald Chambers said? He said, Jesus did not come to save the world. That Jesus never had such ideas in his mind. He came to do the will of the Father. It was the Father that was saving the world. Did you hear that? That Jesus never came to save the world. For God so loved the world, not Jesus so loved the world. As a result of his love for the world, what did he do? He gave his only begotten son. It was the Father doing the arrangement. The Lord Jesus came to do the will of him that sent him and to finish his work. You can't force deliverance. That's what I'm saying. So I'm supposed to say, no, if you don't do it like this. In fact, one thing I wanted to start with today. Maybe I'll just continue next time. But if you're a preacher, especially if you have not read this book, you are taking the risk. Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits by Kenneth Hagin. Let me say it again. What I say to one, I say to all. What the Lord Jesus said through Kenneth Hagin in 1987-88 is still relevant till today. Go and get it. Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits. I was reading again yesterday and today, and it was such a blessing to me. I wanted to actually start in the story, but I didn't remember. But it's still the will of God, all right? But you read that book, you will understand that God has his wisdom. It will help you focus on what God expects you to do without being consumed by the results you are looking out towards. That's all I want to say about it, because my time is gone. I just want to leave it there. But a lot of people, they jump it. They listen to a counsel that tells them that, look, after this person, he's doing it because they want to save the world. You didn't come to save the world. You came to obey the will of the Father. Are you getting my point? You didn't come to build a big church. I keep on telling preachers, you came to preach the gospel. Are you getting what I'm saying? You did not come to convert sinners. You can't. All you came to do is to what? Preach the gospel. So your machinations, your efforts should be into knowing and preaching. The rest is the will of God. In due season, he will do what he wants to do. There are many preachers more faithful than Billy Graham, who you never heard of. Did you hear what I said? Let me say it again. Some people don't believe it. There are many preachers that God looks and says they are far more important than G-O-E Adeboye. But you don't know them. And they are in this Nigeria. There are many preachers that God thinks that Bishop Oyedepo should prostrate when he sees them. But you don't know them. Some of them are younger than him. Some of them are older. And you will never know them. You can tremble with all the big names that you know. Are you getting me? But God is saying, this fellow that you don't know is doing better. Now, I'm not trying to say anything, all right, demeaning about the men I just mentioned. I'm trying to explain a principle to you. So you can be one of those people. That's what I'm saying. We're not scheming for prominence. That's what I'm saying. We're not scheming for who will be better known. We're not scheming for who would finally in his life have a private jet. No, that's not what we're scheming for. God knows what he's doing. What we are doing is just scheming to make sure that each season in our lives, we are where God expects us to be. Moses was, in quote, stagnated for 40 years. By the end of 40 years, he was a friend of God. When God was going to speak about him, some people said that, what did they do yourself? You know, it was an insult to God. How can you tell Moses, what did they do yourself? Some say, you think you're the only one that can hear the voice of God, and the Lord found it offensive. He sank them into the earth. Miriam was angry that Moses married. The family did not agree with the wife that Moses married. She got leprosy for it. Now, let me say something to you. We are not saying Moses was right. We are saying he was so important that God didn't see anybody. You shouldn't even criticize him behind. You will get toothache. Some people get and say, is that Moses? What's going on? I don't know what's wrong with that man these days. So that's it. Their jaw will just swell. That was how much God defended that fellow. Whether I want to marry that wife, it was good. We don't know. All we know is that the people criticized and that was a bad deal. What am I saying? It shows that his stagnation, if anything, they was about it. All right? It was for his good. Are you getting what I'm saying? At the end of the day, did he deliver the nation of Israel or did he not deliver them? He did. He still got his reward. You know what I mean by reward now? His life still counted. He still did what he was supposed to do, even though apparently he was stagnated for a while. There are people who, because they've been stagnated in business, they've joined PDP. Yes. It's a way of driving yourself out of the wilderness before your time. There are those that are in a particular office. After a while, they're going to start business they don't know how to do because they are tired of where they are. Just trying to make their own way. What's my lesson for us today? God takes people out sometimes of... I mean, let me just like this. They started out trying to obey God. A lot of these preachers, what am I saying? It was answering call to ministry. But that call to ministry was not the way they thought it would be, which is what happened to Moses. So they appear to be stagnated for a while. You may appear to be stagnated for a while. That's what I'm saying. It does not mean God has left you. It means he's planning you for a return to Egypt. Did I hear an amen? He's planning you for what? A return to Egypt. Next time you get back to Egypt, next time you start in that business again, next time you start investing, next time you decide, now this, you're going to laugh when I say this, next time you decide to pursue a woman, I knew you were going to laugh. You've tried it a few times, it didn't work. So you have entered into the wilderness, amen? Any sister agreed to you, and I said, carry your eye, go. Keep on carrying like that. It's good. It's the will of God. But next time you bring the eyes down, hallelujah. What you will hear is, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. A woman shall she be called. When Moses returned to Egypt, there was no fighting anymore. You know that? There was no negotiating. There was just a rod and a word. Thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. And if you don't let them go, I will kill your firstborn. And he will go away. Then one day he will come again. Thus says the Lord. In fact, you know he wasn't talking. He just did like this. So Aaron will say, thus says the Lord. Hey, Aaron just looks at us. That is, you know, God said to Moses, "You shall be a God unto Aaron." And then, so Aaron will look. Am I getting? So that is, Moses didn't even have to talk. He was just looking. So, Yahweh cargo, that is, all he's doing is just, Aaron was doing all the talking. When he does like this, Aaron, he knows what to say. When they get back home, he will talk to Aaron. When they get before Pharaoh, he just stand like this. As a matter of fact, when all the elders of Israel gather, he will look at Aaron. Aaron will say, "Well," you know, it's very funny. Most of you just sit down and they look. Aaron would do it. "Well, what the Lord said is that all of you will get one lamb." Okay? Not two. Not two. One. All right. One. Gone are the days of, "We no go agree, oh, we no go agree. We don't freedom. We no go." Gone are the days. It's just a matter of nodding. Just say, "Give me some sand there." Phew. Plague all over Egypt. After 40 years of stagnation. A time came he faced the river. Listen. Oh, I pray you understand what I'm saying. After your period of stagnation, a time will come. They will say, "Government said we can't do this." You say, "They can't say so." Because you said they can't say so, next day they will change their mind. Because the man got to the Red Sea. Say, "What is going on?" God said, "Why are you talking to me about it? What do you want to do? You want to go for it?" And divide the way now. That is what God expected from Moses, was that there should not have been any discussion. He should have reached there and said, "What do we do? They are coming this way. This is the only way we can go. Give me my rod. Water, out of the way." Listen, as God is my witness, I believe with all my heart. If he had done that, the water would have separated. Because that was God said, "Why are you talking? What's that in your hand? Divide the water now." Believe me, all the talk in the wilderness was not necessary. They would just come and say, okay, you people want to eat. Take the sand, throw it up, it will fall down as food. Continue what he's doing, it will have worked. After 40 years of stagnation. Listen, what all his labor of fighting and organizing could not do, 40 years of waiting did it. What did I say? What all his labors, all his fighting, organizing couldn't do, 40 years of waiting did it. By the time the man returned, he was not a one man anymore. He went back with the power of God. Listen, you've tried this, you've tried that, you've tried this business, you've tried this kind of work, it's not working. Listen, just relax. There's something God has given you for today. It's one small job, somebody continue doing it. It's something you're supposed to be doing, just be doing it. Wake up in the morning, pray, just be doing it. The time you return to do that thing again, you know, for now, you don't phone everybody. "Oh boy, Fred, how far? You said you put 50,000 down for that business now. I never see them." "Ah, friends say, you know, they never pay. Okay. Should we still wait for it?" "Yes." "Okay." You don't call everybody tired. 1 million to invest, never complete. When you return back, you know what will happen? "Oh, go and read it again. Happiest people on earth." People will come and say, "Wait, how much is it? How much did it take?" "1 million. Let's just give you 2, you know, just in case." You know, say, no, two wouldn't be good. And for that 1 million, you are getting only 15%. I hope you understand. Don't worry, it's still good enough. That is, people will now be begging you with the thing you've been begging everybody for. You know, there are preachers, I used to hear those days, I didn't know why people did it. I think it's idleness. So they'll be sending their demo tapes around. As we say, I'm going somewhere now. Bishop Wilipo said, maybe he's going abroad. They'll give him the tape. Say, "Please, take this tape for us so that when you get to London, you get to US, you give the other preacher, listen to it. This boy is good." When you hear one bishop is coming to town, you make sure, "Pastor, please, can I say the opening prayer?" You understand? Because one big man is coming. Instead of just saying the opening prayer, "Praise the Lord. Oh, let's stand, let us pray. But first of all, I want to show you something from the book of Joshua chapter 15. You want to impress the man of God looking for invitation. No, preachers, they do it too. Yes, it sounds funny, but people do it. Somebody is traveling abroad, his friends say, "Abe, take my tape now, take my book." That is not to bless them, but impress them. They may like the sound of my voice and invite me. Stop that nonsense. It's not necessary. It does not work. Amen? It's not necessary. If you really want to preach, I keep on saying, go to one secondary school behind your house. Those boys have a fellowship. And they are looking for a senior brother who will come. Why do you want to go abroad? You're a thief. That's why. That's why. You really want to preach. You really want to preach. You really want to preach. Go to one campus fellowship. Just when there are not plenty. Go and help them. But what am I saying? After you have relaxed and done your work, a time will come. Eh? What did I say? Eh? No, I said, eh? A time will come, eh? That is how to refuse and say, I'm sorry, I can't come. That will be your problem. You hear what I said? Tell your neighbor it's coming. Say to the person it's coming. Tell the person one more time it is coming. Tell the person one more time it's coming, no? You understand what I mean? And the thing about success, Pastor Kwaji used to say those days, he says success is so powerful, it erases the memory of failure. That is so powerful, you will forget all the days of struggling and striving and all of that. You will forget. He says success is so powerful, it wipes out the memory of failure. That is, and there are scriptures for it too. You know that? God said that you see a woman in pain, in childbirth. We cry and shout, hey, doctor, this is too much. 6 months down the line, she's pregnant again. Why? Because Jesus said, after the child is born, she immediately forgets. Can you see? Success is so powerful, God had to remind the children of Israel. He had to give them commandments and ordinances to help them remember. He said, thou shalt remember. That is, you are likely to forget. He said, you will tell your children. He said, when they say, why are you doing this? We were slaves. We were. That is, you have to be reminded. Otherwise, you will forget. Tell your neighbor again, it's coming. And I perceive very strongly that for some people, it's very soon. Now, don't worry whether it's you or not. Don't worry. Just relax. God will give you as much joy and satisfaction where you are now, all right? As you are hoping for in the place you are going to get to. Let's bow down and just say, Father, we thank you. I know I've taken extra time.